Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Jason, it's the Bechtel Breakdown for this Friday, June 27th, the final Bechtel Breakdown in June, and it's brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating, our good friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating on a Friday. Let's dive in. So there is discussions in Los Angeles right now, Jason, as we'll stick with the NHL theme, around the frameworks of a new CBA with an unprecedented early extension being discussed with 84-game regular season, and they're going to add 2 games?
Why?
To the regular season? Why is that necessary?
I don't get it. I mean, they've expanded teams. I didn't see the length of the regular season being a problem, though.
No, not at all. And according to Frank Saravalli, they're going to potentially shorten the preseason. Okay, I understand that. What, do they play 7 preseason games?
Yeah.
Do they really need that many?
No.
I don't think so. You really only need 4, maybe 5 preseason games. Not too many. But I also thought that it was fascinating. There were discussions regarding the 84-game regular season beginning in 26-27. And the preseason will be shortened to 4 games per team. And players with 100-plus career games played can play in a maximum of just 2 preseason games. Player contracts will be limited to a max of 7 years for players re-signing with their current club and 6 years for a player on the free agent market. Do we really need mins and maxes on player contracts?
I don't. All of that strikes me as over-managing.
Yes.
Like, teams often took care of how many games veteran players played in the preseason on their own. Like, do you see a lot of NHL teams out there running the veterans?
No.
No. Police yourselves. You're fine.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need that.
It's a little much.
Teams are also no longer able to mandate a player dress code for arriving and departing games. I find this fascinating because you know how in the NBA, players show up in just the most outlandish outfits?
Yep.
I don't think we're going to see that in the NHL. But I do wonder if there are, like if Jacob Trouba would show up in something fascinating. You know, like how Mac Hollins showed up barefoot to, like, a 20-degree game for the Bills?
I again think this is overkill by the NHL because the culture of the sport will take care of it. The culture of the sport is to show up in, like, a nice suit. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know there was a dress code.
No, I just thought everybody just liked wearing suits.
Everybody wore suits.
Yeah.
That's what you wear. That's the sport. That's the culture of the sport. I don't think you're suddenly going to have dudes rolling up to... And also, let's not forget, the NHL's playing in winter months. Like,
right.
Your fashion options are limited in January in Edmonton. You know, you're going to wear a heavy coat.
You would think so, but then again, look at the likes of Mac Hollins and Joe Burrow showing up in the Joe Burrow fit. All iced out, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but I mean, those are guys with personality. In the NHL,
are there no personalities in the NHL?
There are some, but not many.
Yeah, there's really not many.
I mean, in the idea of personality, it's like Chris Letang's dress code. Like, he dresses very nice and has a bunch of, like, fancy tailored suits, but that's a little different than what we saw out of Joe Burrow.
Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic says that Mitch Keller does not have a no-trade clause, which, of course, we know. He has upside at 29, and he would be available for 4 pennant races, and the Pirates' asking price in a potential Keller trade would likely be high for a pitcher who was a 2023 All-Star, saying that he does have some inconsistency, it might temper offers, but in a market thin on quality starting pitchers, the Pirates should be motivated to take advantage, Jason. Would you be motivated to trade Mitch Keller?
I would be motivated. Does it scare the pants off of me if Ben Cherington's the one making this trade? Yes, it does.
Yes.
That's the problem I have with it. I don't want to trade Mitch Keller. I realize why it makes sense to trade Mitch Keller. You need a bat. You can replace Mitch from within. They've got good young starting pitching. His number, I think Rosenthal wrote this, it goes to like 16.5, 18, and 20, I want to say, over the final 4 years or 3 years of his deal. Like, that's a lot of money if you're talking about you know, replacing him with Braxton Ashcraft or Bubba Chandler or Thomas Harrington or Mike Burrows or whomever. I think they can potentially do that. So, I mean, yes, I would look to trade Mitch Keller. I just don't approve of the guy who would be doing it.
Now, what type of return would they necessarily get in your mind for Mitch Keller? Because I think that they would need to get a bat of his caliber, maybe even better, whether it is a younger guy or not a veteran, but somebody who's right around the 25, 26, 27 range compared to somebody that's starting to approach the back nine.
So I have two thoughts on that, Austin. I think there are two ways you can go. You can take somebody who might have a little bit of a lower ceiling, but there's less of a risk of missing, i.e. like Mitch Keller in hitter form. Like, it's not elite of the elite, probably not a more than one or two time all-star, but like he's going to post up every fifth day and give you a professional start. Or you can take somebody who's on the cusp of AAA in the major leagues who maybe has some more upside that might be like a Brian Reynolds type that you take a little bit of a gamble on. Like, that guy might miss, but he also might turn out to be a better player than Mitch Keller has been. And I don't know what the right answer to that is. Like, I'd have to look at the individual players, but those are the two types of return I would look at. What about you?
I would hope that they could potentially do something just like Pete Crow Armstrong was a couple years ago. So when Crow Armstrong originally came to the major leagues, he was a young player, came up at 21, and last year, I mean, he was solid, 10 home runs, 47 RBIs. He hit 237, though, for the Cubs. This year, I mean, you could put him in the MVP race. 21 homers, 61 RBIs, a 4.5 war leads the National League, Jason.
Wow.
He's right up there with Skeens at 4.5. That's where Crow Armstrong is as a 23-year-old. The first year he came up and he played in 13 games, it just seemed like this was a guy that did not have much power, was going to be a defense-first player, and was going to be good. Like, he was going to be a starter, but not somebody who was going to make a significant impact. Now, he's probably one of the best hitters on the Cubs, and, I mean, is a candidate for the MVP in the National League, and maybe not the top five, but he's in there. So I would try to find a candidate like that who was coming off of a season last year, you know, 10 home runs, 47 RBIs, 123 games, like, good, but somebody who you think can have a good breakout. So that would be my comp.
All right. Well, if Mitch Keller can be traded for Pete Crow Armstrong, I'm in.
Yes.
Where do I sign?
Well, but here's the thing. We didn't know that Pete Crow Armstrong was going to be what Pete Crow Armstrong became this year.
Right.
So that's the crux of my argument.
Well, and that's, we're saying the same thing, too. You can have Mitch Keller in hitter form, or you can take a chance on a Pete Crow Armstrong, and that's what he can evolve into.
Yeah.
I just don't think that this regime has it together enough to make that valuation on a player, and that scares me.
Like, how many trades has this regime made in 6 years that you've said, man, good deal? Joey Bart for nothing?
Yeah, Colin, that's not even Holderman, a deal. That's claiming somebody, and that's the completing the trade. Yeah, the Holderman's
Holderman
won
for a year. I mean, he is, over the last year plus, maybe not year plus, but when you take Holderman from August of last year to where we are now, has not been a good player. Just frankly, is not. He was an all-star type of pitcher before that, but since, not good. Other trades, I mean, I guess acquiring Bednar was good. I sometimes get it confused if it was the Frazier trade. It was the Musgrove trade that they got Bednar in. I guess that trade was okay, but there were other players that they could have got back, and Musgrove's been a good starter for them. Threw a no-hitter for them. What, the first no-hitter in Padres history?
Yep.
Musgrove threw for them, so that is the type of player, or like the McCutchen deal is the perfect example of what you would necessarily need to get back.
So I wrote this last week for the Post-Gazette. Here's some numbers, and this is how terrible this regime has been at evaluating offense. And my computer's locking up on me, so that's going to present the challenge here. So over the past two off seasons, Charrington has spent over $38 million on 10 bats. Those 10 bats have netted 3.9 wins above replacement. That's only about 81% of what it should be getting, what the Pirates should be getting if you look at like $8 million per war. The problem is of that 3.9, 2.2 belongs to Andrew McCutchen. So basically the only offense they've added over the past two off seasons has been Andrew McCutchen. So you're looking at a group of, it's Michael A. Taylor, Rowdy Tellez, Yasmani Grandal, just terrible. You know, that group has 28 million for 1.7 war. That's not going to get it done. And there's a whole bunch of that. You know, since 2020, Charrington has made 11 trades within a week of the trade deadline. Those deals have netted a total of 14 hitters, 8 that have made it to the big leagues. Grand total of wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference, 0.3.
Oh, that's great.
It's a whole bunch of randomness and numbers that I'm reading to you, but the sum total is that they can't evaluate offense. So why are we trusting that they're suddenly going to be able to do that now? We shouldn't.
Dalton Wasserman of PFF put out his top 10 returning head coaches. I would be kind of surprised if you put on a top 10 list of just head coaches and they were not all returning, unless you want to put Mike Vrabel on it. Who do you expect to be the number one coach on this list?
Number one on the top 10 returning coaches list?
Yes.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I mean, you're bringing this up for a reason. Is it Mike Tomlin?
It is not Mike Tomlin. Where do you think Mike Tomlin ranks on the list?
2.
No.
No.
5.
Okay.
Mike Tomlin
5
is 5
still
fifth.
Very high.
He is high. So Andy Reid is 1, Sean Payton 2, okay. McVay 3, Harbaugh 4, Tomlin 5, Tomlin ahead of Jim Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan, Sirianni, who just won the Super Bowl, Dan Campbell, and the two-time Coach
Get
of the Year,
of
Kevin
here.
Stefanski.
Oh, my goodness. We're putting Mike Tomlin ahead of Dan Campbell?
Yeah, apparently PFF is. Dalton Wasserman thinks so.
PFF has invalidated itself. With
what about Shanahan? Do you think he's better? Do you think Tomlin should be above Shanahan? I don't.
I'm okay with that.
Really?
What?
Why?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
I'm okay with Tomlin being ahead of Shanahan.
Oh, no, I'm not. I think Shanahan should be ahead of Tomlin.
Oh.
Look at what he did. He took Brock Purdy to the Super Bowl. He took Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl.
I know, but Tomlin's got a greater history of continuing to win, and I know people will crap all over that argument, but it's not like he's a bad coach.
Shanahan's entire roster was injured last year.
That's an interesting one.
And they still were competitive at times for a decent portion of the season.
I'm more offended by Tomlin being ahead of Dan Campbell. What in the world?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Dan Campbell should be ahead of Tomlin.
I mean, the more I think about this, Austin, as I'm just kind of processing what you're saying, you got to put Shanahan ahead.
Shanahan should be ahead. Campbell should be ahead. Harbaugh, I'll give you Tomlin on that. Nick Sirianni, look, a lot of people like to crap on Sirianni.
That's crazy.
I think that Sirianni should be ahead of Tomlin.
Yes.
And
he won the Super Bowl!
And the Eagles have been trying to run him out of town, or at least Eagles fans have been trying to run him out of town, and they just gave him a new extension. Like, Sirianni has put together, sure, they have a lot of great offensive pieces. He is the conductor of the whole entire operation.
Again, he won the Super Bowl. How else are we evaluating coaches? Wins, losses, success? I don't know what PFF is using to generate that list, but it should use something else.
And a lot of people think that, you know, Nick or that Jalen Hurts is not that good of a quarterback. Well, okay, then do you credit Sirianni for running that offense and putting Jalen Hurts into a good position to be able to succeed and
win
the Super Bowl then?
Exactly. Is it a requirement that he has to have a top 5 quarterback in the league? Who cares?
I think
Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback for that system, and it's driven by Saquon Barkley.
Tomlin should be in the top 10. But he should not be ahead of Shanahan. He should not be ahead of Sirianni. He should not be ahead of Campbell. I'm looking at Tomlin more. He should be ahead of Stefanski. I'm looking at Tomlin more at 8 or 9.
Yep, same.
Like right
in
that
range.
I'd be okay
with that. I'd be okay with that.
I'm surprised Matt LaFleur is not on this top 10. Maybe because they struggled a little bit last year in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Jordan Love was banged up at the start of the year.
How many coaches are on? Like, how many returning coaches are there in the NFL?
I think they had 7. There's typically 6 to 7 new coaches every year in the NFL.
Yeah, all right.
So,
they didn't rank like all 26 then?
No, I was just looking at the top 10.
Okay.
Doran, on the morning show today, was asked who the top quarterbacks are in the draft right now. And if Doran had to draft one quarterback tomorrow, if the draft clock read 1 instead of 300, it read 300 yesterday, If it read one day and you're building all those nice little platforms and you're lining up all those guardrails for people to stand and cheer and the points fired up and you're watching the Clipper go over the river, ushering people to the North Shore for the draft. If you had one quarterback to draft, who is Roger Goodell going to announce? Doran Dickerson says Drew Aller of Penn State. Doran, I would like to formally welcome you. This is the Austin Bechtold Drew Aller fan club. The Drew Aller is a good quarterback, but yes, he needs to prove it in his senior year club, where it's not 100% defined club. There are still things that need to be figured out in this club. This is not a bona fide 1,000% Peyton Manning club where we know exactly what we're getting. There are still things to prove, but the upside is significantly there. The talent is there. The 6'5 frame, ability to move, ability to escape the rush is all there. I'm glad that Doran is joining my side. And as a Pitt man, I hope that the Pitt fans that will trash me on the text line and will trash me on Twitter, claiming that this is a take that is a Penn State bias take, and the people that claim that I hate Will Howard for the just lunacy idea that since he went to Ohio State, I don't like him. Like the people, do you want me to say that about Cam Hayward? So are you saying that I don't like Cam Hayward? I thought Jack Sawyer was a great pick. That's my long-winded answer of saying, Doran, I welcome you to the side.
So is Pitt now one of the 10 college football teams that you follow?
Yeah, how about that?
I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Callis claiming that I follow and I like 10 college football teams, which is untrue. Penn State.
You only like 9. I don't know where Callis got 10 from.
Only 2. Penn State, and I'll follow Pitt. And like if Waynesburg's playing a game, of course I'll follow Waynesburg because they're in the PAC and that's where I went and I call PAC games on Saturday. But Callis, like, you want to make fun of me, Callis, for college basketball, saying that I like to follow Michigan State because I like Izzo, and I like Carolina because I've always liked the Heels, and I like Bryce Johnson and Justin Jackson and Marcus Page growing up. Sure, college football. Nah, I picked my lane, Callis.
So I'm looking for the smoke, man.
I'm on the Parkway. I have two lanes. I have the fast lane, which is Penn State, and I have the other lane, which is Pitt. And I follow and observe both of them. And if you don't like that I observe both of them and I like both of them and I root for both of them, if they played against each other, who would I pick? Probably Penn State because they have a better chance to win the national championship. Oh, well. That's my rant. And I'm sticking to it.
All right.
All right. One more thing from Mike Florio. He said that he's lived in and around Pittsburgh his entire life, which is true. He lives in West Virginia. And he said on the Dan Patrick Show that the way that the Steelers are behaving this offseason is unlike anything they've ever done. Do you agree with that? Because I kind of feel like over the last two off seasons, they're behaving like they've never done. Signing Russell Wilson, Hall of Fame quarterback on a prove-it deal. Trading for Justin Fields. Signing Patrick Queen to a big money contract. Yep. Bringing in Darius Slay. Patrick Peterson a couple of years ago. Like, they've kind of become the Arizona Cardinals, the retirement home of the Northeast a little bit in a way, where a lot of guys like Emmitt Smith, Kurt Warner, they would go and retire in Arizona and soak up the 100-degree heat. But now, I mean, the Steelers are, they're not the Cardinals, but they're somewhat in a similar situation as that.
Yeah, I mean, I see it a little bit. I think it's Omar Khan. Omar Khan has done things differently than Kevin Colbert, and I think he should be commended for them. When could you imagine the Steelers trading for DK Metcalf and then extending him for $150 million? Aaron Rodgers et al. They've made some decisions. I think they've made some good decisions, frankly. I won't disagree with Mike Florio. It needs to manifest on the field, sure. Getting Hall of Fame quarterbacks is certainly an interesting tack to take. But, yes, I will agree with Florio on that one. But historically, the Steelers have also won a lot of games. So it would be great if those off seasons would translate into playoff success.
One final one for you. The NFL has informed teams there will not be a supplemental draft this year. Very unfortunate. Nobody gets taken in that anyway.
I know.
When are they just going to end the supplemental draft?
It sounds like right now.
So 46,
sounds like they just did.
46 players have been picked in the supplemental draft since its inception in 1977. There have been some good players that have been picked. Chris Carter, Josh Gordon, Bobby Humphrey, Bernie Kosar.
That's right.
But the current trend suggests that the list might not grow anytime soon for a supplemental draft.
Well,
there's not been one since 2019.
I was going to say, the proliferation of scouting and how much is put into this draft and the combine and how much things are combed out, I don't see a need for it.
No.
It's just become outdated.
I'll show my own ignorance here. I don't even know how you can become eligible for the supplemental draft.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you went to IUP and have a really good offseason and can find a tryout somewhere and get people to take a look. I don't know either. I don't even know. That's, yeah. We good?
We're good.
All right. We got Bob Walk coming up in a couple of minutes.
Here we go. I'm sorry.
What do you got?
The supplemental draft is for players who were not yet eligible or had questions surrounding their eligibility for the regular draft. Players must be at least 3 years removed from high school and petition the league to take part in the supplemental draft. So okay. There you go.
All right. Good to know. 50-minute mark on the Fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan weather, cloudy today with a high of Sidney Crosby, 87 degrees, of course. Good golf weather for Pomp. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. As I said before, the Pirates are starting a series this weekend against the New York Mets at PNC Park. The Mets have been a very weird study. I don't know how much you follow them. They have the best ERA in baseball. Probably does not bode well for the Pirates. They've allowed only 299 runs, also the fewest in the National League. They hit a lot of home runs. Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, chief among them, and they've been very streaky. They had won two games over Atlanta. Before that, they were in a losing skid, and before that, they were in a winning stretch. So we'll see.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.